Do you ever feel exhausted? Do you feel that work takes up so much of your energy that you can do nothing else? You might ask yourself, isn't there more to life than working all day long? Maybe you feel unhappy and have no energy. I know, I felt like that too. What can we do to start feeling better?
Hello, I'm Carol, and Tammy and I are here again with Women of Hope. And I hope you have time to stop for a minute now. But if you can't, try and listen while you work. Today we have a friend with us that's going to help us with some ideas on how we can look after ourselves and organize our time better. Lois, I am so glad that you're here with us today.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for inviting me over today.
Do you ever feel so exhausted because you've been working so hard? I mean, working for so long without a break that you feel you can't keep going for another minute. Maybe you feel physically sick and weary from all your hard work.
What sort of work takes up your time? Maybe you spend long hours in the fields at planting time or harvest, or perhaps you have a market stall, or work in a shop or a business, or you teach school. Do you have two or three jobs just to bring in enough money? Maybe you have to work night shifts that can make it hard to have time with your family and friends. And of course, your job is on top of the work you do in the house and looking after the children and other family members. Does your husband help at all in the home or with the children? Often they don't, do they? Women do carry a heavy burden, and it's sometimes hard to find any time for yourself to refresh your body and spirit.
Perhaps you're so busy that you worry at night and you can't get to sleep, or you wake up way too early. All the time, you're thinking about all the work you have to do the next day. Are you like many women who are too busy to eat well? You haven't got time to spend with family or friends, and you don't have time to just be alone. I know that this can make your health suffer, and your marriage and your family relationships suffer as well. No wonder it seems that life is really out of balance.
And friendships suffer. When a friend asks, "How are you?" do you often reply, "Oh, very busy," or "very tired"? How does your friend feel then? Maybe she feels that you're too busy to spend time with her. So after a while, she feels she shouldn't bother you. So then you feel alone and friendless, and maybe feel depressed.
Sometimes we say we need a healthy balance for work and the rest of life. If you're giving out lots of energy in your work, you need to balance that with the things that give you energy. I'm sure you know that sleep is important, and regular exercise, and eating healthy food. But we need to balance our time, too. It's important for you to have time alone to nurture yourself, take care of yourself, and have time with family and friends. So, how can you do this and still work at your job? It would be good to think of some practical ways of balancing your time. Have you talked about this with your husband or other adults that you live with? Make the time to discuss how you feel and how he can help you to get things back into balance. This affects him and the family too, so it's important. Try to set aside time to talk away from the children.
Of course, the children can also do things for the family. Even younger ones. Could you give them tasks to organize their things for school so that everyone is ready to leave the house in the morning? Doing this in the evening before bedtime will make it a nice routine. Children can also do household chores, like preparing vegetables or cleaning and sweeping, because it teaches them important skills that they learn to take responsibility for. Your husband might be happy to do some household jobs too. You won't know until you ask him. It might make him feel more part of the family unit and take pride in supporting his wife and children so that he has a happy wife and family.
Maybe you work all the time in the home, caring for your family, looking after little babies and young children or older relatives 24 hours a day. You can feel overwhelmed by all the work you have to do and get no time for yourself and your interests. Perhaps you have a child who has a disability or an illness and they need constant care.
When my son was very young, he suffered badly from asthma, and many nights I was up all night by his bed watching over him in case he couldn't breathe. It was hard to keep going the next day. I became utterly exhausted and felt very depressed. My husband worked long hours at the hospital, and he was often away overnight on night duty. My family was far away, so there was no relief or support at all. I feel grateful as I remember some wonderful friends from my church who knew about my situation. Together, we formed a support group for each other. Once a week, we met in someone's house, sharing a cup of tea or coffee and something to eat while our children played. We discussed a book we had read or a Bible story we'd heard, and we prayed for each other. We also worked out a plan to look after each other's children for 2 or 3 hours a week so we could get a little break. I felt like this saved my life. Friends from those days are friends for life.
Perhaps this is something you could do too. Talk to your friends and see how you can help each other so you all get time away from constant work.
When I was a young woman, I lived in India, as we went there to work for a few years. I was shocked to learn that our young servant woman worked from 4 o'clock in the morning preparing her family's food for the day. She did the housework, washed the family clothes, got her 3 children ready for school, all before she came to work at my house at 8 o'clock. She was constantly tired. She didn't have time to eat properly and never had any time for herself. No time or money for education or hobbies or just relaxing. Chatting with friends, enjoying playtimes with a baby or exploring nature. She was very happy when I said she must have a coffee break after 1 hour's work at my house. I gave her a rug to lie down on and take a nap so that she could rest and get her energy back and eat something nutritious. This helped her a lot and she had a lot more energy. It made her work and life balance better and she seemed much happier.
And I'm sure she worked well for you then. Good bosses understand that their workers need times of rest, and they work better if they're not slaving all the time. Maybe you can talk to your boss about your work conditions. Or do you stay longer at work than you really need to? Sometimes we have to decide what to give up in order to make time for rest and refreshment.
So what can you do to get a better balance in your life? As busy as you are, it's good to take time to think about life. If you are someone who likes writing things down, you could think about your daily routine and plan how you could make changes. Plan out each day and each week, and make sure you set aside the time for exercise and time to think and time to pray. Maybe you can use the time when you're traveling or walking to work or to the market. Or you might plan things more so that you can go for a walk with a friend or sit down when you listen to your radio program. Even little breaks in your day will help restore your balance.
Yes, they don't have to take long. You can spend some time enjoying the beautiful world God made that restores you. It doesn't take me long to stop and look at the sunrise or sunset, or a flower or tree. Then I take a deep breath and let go of the tension I'm holding in my body. I relax and feel grateful for a moment, and that gives me energy to go on.
Do you know that even God rested? At the beginning of the Bible, we read about the creation of the world. There was a lot of work to be done, and the Bible says that on the seventh day, God rested. That's a wonderful reminder for us. It gives us the freedom to also take rest, to wonder, to dream, to create, and get life back into balance.
We've just been talking about the balance in our daily lives. We use up energy, and we need to restore energy. It's like a bank account in a way. We have to put something in to be able to draw something out. But let me ask you, do you think your relationship with God is like that? Do we have to put in good actions to balance our bad actions?
You know, I heard one woman say, I gave some money to the children's charity. I hope God noticed. I need some good points. And sometimes I hear people joke about what happens when they die. They may say something like this, well, I hope I'm in credit when the angels do my accounts. I hope I have enough good points. It's as though they have the feeling that they have to give an account of themselves to God, but they often think that they'll be okay to go to heaven because they're not murderers and they're not criminals.
It seems that people all over the world have some idea that their actions will be judged. In ancient Egypt, over 5,000 years ago, people believed that after death, their heart was weighed in a balance against a feather from the goddess who represented the order of the universe. I've seen pictures they painted of the weighing scales and the demon waiting to eat them if they failed.
Oh, my. Today, some people think that they will come back in a different form, according to how well they live their lives. Some say their actions are weighed in the balance or written in a ledger to see whether good ones are more than bad ones. And others say that you must cross a narrow bridge to heaven, which you can't get across unless you have enough good merit or credit. It's like the good act earns you credit, and a bad act takes the credit away. So what do you think about this? Are you hoping that you can earn enough credit? Do you worry in case you can't? Could we ever have enough credit to buy our way into heaven? Let me tell you a story about Kate, a woman who left her job in America to set up an aid organization in a faraway country that was badly damaged by wars. One day, Kate visited her neighbors. They drank tea, ate nuts and sweets, and the husband asked Kate what would happen when she died. He explained that they believed that they would need to earn much merit or credit in God's sight in order to be able to cross the narrow bridge to heaven. They could earn credit through keeping all their religious rules and practices. The judge would be strict, and they could never know whether or not they would have enough credit to pass the test. Kate understood them, and she agreed, "Yes, I believe that God will judge us. He sees all of our actions, and he sees our hearts. I believe God is always just. God's word, the Bible, says, everyone must die once, and after that be judged by God. But it also says that all of us have sinned and we fall short of God's glorious standard. I know I'm not good enough to cross that bridge to heaven. I would have to be perfect to meet God's standard. And God knows that we will never earn enough credit to get to heaven." Kate continued. "Here's the thing," she said. I don't have to be good enough to get to heaven on my own goodness. God knew that I would never be good enough, but He still loved me. He loves all of us, and He wants us to come to heaven, so He sent Jesus to help us. Kate took the blue glass bowl filled with sweets from the table. "This bowl is like Jesus," she said. "His bowl is filled with righteousness and goodness. He did no bad actions, only good ones. And He is full of credit in God's sight." And then she took a red bowl with just a few shells that were left from the nuts. "And this," she said, "is like me. I have no righteousness, no credit compared with God. He is completely holy, and that is His standard." Kate's friends looked at the bowls and they nodded. They knew what she meant. So Kate went on. "Then God gave me faith to believe in Jesus. When that happened, it's like He picked me up," she said. And she picked up her red bowl and she put it on top of the blue bowl of sweets that stood for Jesus. "When it's time, Jesus will carry me to heaven on His righteousness and His credit. When God judges me, He won't look at my bad actions because Jesus took care of them. He will welcome me into heaven. This is the will of God." And Kate smiled. "This is what I believe." And she slid the two bowls across the table, her empty nut bowl carried by the blue Jesus bowl. Both her neighbors looked at the bowls and then looked at Kate. At last, the gray-bearded father said, "You have a beautiful God."
What do you think about that story? It reminds me of some words in the Bible that say, if anyone is in Jesus Christ, they are a new being. The old has gone, the new has come. When you put your trust in Jesus and make Him your master, God gives you a new life. It's not because you worked for it, it's because of Jesus. When Jesus died, it's like He wiped out the debt we owed to God. We could never pay that debt, but Jesus did. To receive that new life, that gift, we just need to confess our sin, admit we need God's forgiveness, and thank God for His grace and kindness.
Now, you might think, that's good, and I love a new start, but I know I'll mess it up again. Soon I'll be right back in debt with God. But here's the wonderful thing. We can keep coming back to God and asking Him to forgive us. The Bible promises us this. If we confess our sins, we can always trust God to do what is right and forgive us our sins.
That doesn't mean we should take God's kindness for granted and just go on sinning. After that new start, each time we recognize that we have done wrong and ask God to forgive us, our conscience is touched. We learn what God wants. We get more sensitive to right and wrong, and we want to do what is right. To please God who has done so much for us, when we put our trust in Jesus, we want to be like Jesus.
There was a world-famous French acrobat named Jean-François Blondin. People called him the Great Blondin. In 1859, he was the first man to walk on a tightrope above the Niagara Falls, a huge waterfall between Canada and the United States of America. That rope was 1,300 feet long. That's about 400 meters. He did this many times and in front of huge crowds. One day, Blondin asked who would climb on his back and let him carry them across the falls as he walked on this rope. No one wanted to. They all believed he could do it, but they didn't want to risk their lives. Finally, one man agreed. He was Blondin's manager, Harry Colcord. He was so sure that he could trust Blondin that he got onto his back, and he let Blondin carry him safely across Niagara Falls. You see, the others said they believed, but Harry Colcord acted on his faith. That is a picture of what it means to put your trust in Jesus. We trust him entirely to carry us to heaven on his strength, his credit. We don't depend on any other way, but we fully trust that God will accept us because Jesus has dealt with our sins. Are you ready to put all your trust in Jesus?
That's a big decision to make, isn't it? Our prayer is that you will trust Jesus today. If you have questions or if you've made that decision, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page.
We do hope that you'll be with us again. Have a great week filled with God's blessings.